Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome on what I can honestly say is a beautiful Sunday, and the sun is shining, and it's a great day to worship and praise God. A few announcements before we get started. Don't forget, Brown Bag and Big Ideas continues. We'll meet on Monday from noon to 1:15. We're still hoping for our first sunny Monday, but it will happen eventually. Regardless, we've still had a good crew and a lot of good fellowship there. Elders will meet tomorrow at 7 p.m. We met last Monday. I'm a week behind on that one. No surprise meetings, you're good. Spiritual Companioning will meet on Wednesday. If you want to join us for our brown bag meal, that's at 6:30. If you want to join us for Spiritual Companioning, just for that, that's 7 to 8. But once again, a great opportunity to connect with the Spirit of God. I also have going around, if you could sign up for our usher and greeter list, I'd like to get this out in our newsletter. So as many people as possible who can sign up for that, that would be greatly appreciated. And then next week, we are going to have a town hall immediately after worship. Also special for this town hall, the trustees are going to be making some hot dogs and some lunch along with our cake. And anybody who would like to donate to the CEC scholarship fund, the camp scholarship fund. We got our camps coming up right around the corner. Tar Hollow's in about a month, Bethany's in a couple of weeks after that. So any support we could give to that, the trustees are looking to raise a little money for that. So if you could support that cause during town hall. We'll also have some important issues to discuss. One of those will be the future of our roof and what we can do to sustain that. I also wanted to pass along a thank you from everybody who helped out at the rummage sale. I got to be down here both days, and I was just blown away not only by the number of volunteers we had, the long hours they put in, but also the number of people who come off the street to just come to our rummage sale and check stuff out. I would say 99% of the people that walk through the door are not Schönbrunn members or affiliated with us in any way. So it's great to see. I wanted to pass along thank you from Linda Bonnell, who led this, and her and Terry stored so much stuff for half the year, but she wanted to pass along her thanks. We raised almost $1,500. We helped Camp Bethany, the Humane Society, the flood victims, the Women's Fellowship, who is helping children in Honduras. She also notes that anybody who would like a plant left over, please help yourself. They are outside the kitchen door, so if you want a plant, go ahead and grab one. Also, 10 a.m. on Monday, tomorrow, we'll have somebody coming up to pick up the stuff. If you're available to help us load that, any helping hands are greatly appreciated. Does anybody else have any other announcements they want to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Morning, Alicia. Morning, Angie. Morning, Misty. Welcome back. Morning, Danielle.
Morning.
Morning, Kara. How's it going? Morning, Jim.
Hello.
Morning, Millie. How we doing? Morning, Ryan. Morning, Dave. How we doing? Good to see you. Morning, Ross. You may remain standing as we join together for our watchword for the week. Our watchword this week comes from the 22nd chapter of Psalms, verse 28. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, choir. Let us please stand for the call to worship. We are sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female anymore.
For all are one in Christ Jesus.
Please remain standing as we join together to sing praise to God. And please note that we will omit this hymn when we sing it on the liturgy, which will be on page 15 of your Moravian Book of Worship.
Which can be found on page 13.
Thank you.
Almighty God, enthroned above all, you alone are God over the nations of the earth. Even the planets, the stars, and the galaxies are placed by your hands.
Where we go, where is your spirit? Where do we flee from your presence? If we go up to the heavens, you are there. If we go down into the caves of the earth, in the depths of the sea, you are there.
God of all creation, we sing praises to your name. We stand jubilant before your glory, power, and beauty.
God of certainty, God of truth, our confidence is in you and in you alone.
Yet we live in a fallen world, and we are imperfect people.
Our world is filled with pain and alienation.
We know of illness when body or mind is failing, and the loneliness of spirit it brings.
We know separation from parent or child, from friend or neighbor, and the emptiness of life it brings.
We know of strangeness in new communities and in changing communities, and longing it brings.
We know of alienation caused by unemployment or poverty or discrimination.
We have become strangers to our relatives and foreigners to our family.
How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Let our cry for help come to you.
I am a God nearby, says the Lord. Do I not fill heaven and earth? I am the Lord your God. I have called you out from the peoples, and you shall be holy to me.
We declare your praise. The one who brought us out of darkness into your wonderful light. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to you.
You may be seated. Gracious God, we humbly confess that we walk in the way of indifference.
We stand on their strength alone. We stand on the scornful. We deny the need for your guidance and power. Our hearts are not satisfied with riches vulnerable to naught and trust in thee. Yet you justly store up those very treasures.
Set our minds on things unseen and eternal, that our emptiness would end.
We humbly confess that we have failed to welcome the stranger among us. We pass by the neighbor who is hungry and thirsty, naked, sick, and in prison. We sing of your healing power, your unconditional love, but we fail to make our sanctuary a true haven for the suffering and the exile. Give us the will to be ambassadors for our Savior and faithful stewards of the ministry of reconciliation entrusted to us.
Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen.
Without Christ, we were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Jesus Christ, we who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. He is our peace.
We are no longer strangers and aliens, but citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, with Christ himself as the cornerstone.
Therefore, let us affirm our faith in the triune God. Please stand.
We believe
in the one God who has created the land and the sea and heavens and all that is in them, who established the world how it's good, who gives to us the task of watchful and responsible care over it, who is certainty and truth. We believe in the one God who is Jesus Christ, assumed our humanity. And you are like a child, youth, and adult. Divine
Let us in faith keep our eyes fixed on the promises of God, through we see them and greet them from a distance.
We confess that we are strangers and foreigners on the earth, a people who are seeking our true home.
We desire a place that is a heavenly one. Indeed, God has prepared a city for us.
Let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us.
Turn our hearts and our minds to a time of offering. Today in worship, we're going to talk about some of the burdens and challenges we carry in our lives. It's important to remember that no matter how heavy the burden, no matter how heavy the challenge is, God will always be with us. God will always be compassionate with us. So that reminds us that no matter what happens in life, let us be compassionate to God, compassionate to our neighbors, and compassionate to each other. Let us give now of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Please rise. Pray together. Holy Spirit, help us to serve the many people in need in our community. Let us seek to learn the names and stories of people in our community who need assistance from time to time. May we see them as equals, as children of God. Amen. You may be seated. Let us now turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer. As we think about our prayer concerns, we think of Mark Davis, who is headed to a mission trip in Mexico. Good luck for Chloe Martin, who's competing in First Town Days today. For Annalise Sandoval, leaving for the Navy on September 12th. That would be Larry Bennington's daughter. For Tammy Fellers, who passed away, may sympathy and resurrection hope be with her family. And we continue to uplift Virginia Jenkins in prayers as she continues to courageously fight cancer. Also, I ask that you keep in mind all of our, not only our local Moravian kids, but our wider global Moravian kids who are headed off to Convo on Tuesday to the Virgin Islands. A great chance for mission, education, renewal, and connection. We pray especially for those in the valley, thinking of Pastor John Wallace, who is headed down there, Hannah Payden, Libby Payden, and Ellen Stingle, and Jessica Leachman as well. May God bless them and protect them, and may they have a great time down there. We give thanks for Fred Swaldo, who had a successful heart valve replacement surgery at Altman on Tuesday. He would be Rick Swaldo's father. We pray for his continued strength and recovery. For Jim Eichel, who was hospitalized this past week at Union with pneumonia. He should be home. We continue to pray for his strength and rest at this time as well. Let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we are so grateful for the sun that is shining today and for these past few days. We realize that there has been a long stretch of rain and storms. And we are grateful that today we can celebrate. We do not take the next day for granted, but help us to be present and enjoy what is given for us today. Because we can spend our whole lives looking at physical forecast and spiritual forecast, but we know that every day you have the capability to surprise us, to uplift us, and to amaze us. And we also know that there are plenty of people in our world who are struggling. We think of Tammy Fellers, Virginia Jenkins, Fred Swaldo, Jim Eichel, and we think of those who are going out to serve in mission. Help us never to stop being missionaries, because whether we're going to Mexico, the Virgin Islands, or anywhere else on this planet, help us to forget that our mission field is everywhere, and it is anyone who needs to feel Christ's love in their heart. So help us to spread the love and share the love, because we realize that you call us to be disciples who continuously give out of our compassionate hearts. And no matter what struggles come our way, no matter what demons, no matter what difficulties, help us to find strength in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 65, verses 1 through 9, and can be found on page 531. I reveal myself to those who do not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, "Here am I, here am I." All day long I have held out my hands to obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations, a people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs and whose pots hold broth of unclean meat, who say, "Keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you." Such people are smoked in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay back into their laps both your sins and the sins of your fathers, says the Lord, because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defied me on the hills. I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still formed in a cluster of grapes, and men say, "Don't destroy it, there is still some good in it," so will I do in behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob and from Judah, those who will possess my mountains. My chosen people will inherit them, and there will my servants live.
Thank you, Alicia. Our gospel today comes from Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 26 to 39. Jesus restores a demon-possessed man. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. And the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demon had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demon had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. At this time, I invite the children forward for the children's chant. How's everybody doing this morning? Good? Yeah, who's tired? You guys tired? Yeah, it's been a long week. It's good that you're getting out and you're playing and having fun exercise. Today we're going to talk about what happens if we meet somebody who has a lot of struggles or burdens in their life. So I'm going to ask Mr. Ryland, can you grab my big blue comfy pillow right there? We came prepared today. All right. Now, what does it say on this pillow? I'm happy. Now, this is a good foundation to have life. Good, something easy to build on. Now, I want you to pretend that I'm one of your classmates in school or preschool, and try to pretend that this is my goal, to be happy, to live in this comfortable, awesome, oh, it's such a comfy and nice place. I could even fall asleep right there. Now, guess what happens? It's easy to stay happy when you have no challenges in life, when nothing bad happens to you. But Aubrey, can you grab me that farthest pillow? Thank you very much. Well, it turns out when I go to school, guess what I experience? What does that word say? Lonely. I get lonely because nobody wants to play with me. Nobody wants to hang out to me. And so what does that do to my happiness? Makes it a little bit heavier now, doesn't it? Makes it a little hard to see that it's all the way down there. Brandon, you want to grab the next farthest away pillow? Good job. Hey, I didn't say handed. He played well. What does that one say? Hungry. So it turns out I don't have a lot of money when I go to school, and I don't know where my next meal is coming from. Have any of you ever tried to take a math test and your stomach is rumbling like crazy? How do you think you do on your math test? Not as good as you could, because you're focused on what's going on in your tummy and not what's on your brain. So what happens to my happiness? It gets a little heavier and a little harder to see, right? Tyler, you want to grab the next one for me? And what does this one say? Sad. So it turns out because some of the other stuff, I just have a hard time seeing that happiness, and it depresses me, and it makes me feel bad that I'm alone, that I'm hungry, that I'm struggling in school, and it's like this avalanche of stuff. So what happens to my happiness? Can I even see it down there right now? No, I can't see it very well. Paige, can you grab me my last one? One sec. What's that one say? So because of all this bad stuff happening in my life, not only does it depress me, does it make me sad, does it make me hungry, but I lose my faith in God because I have a hard time seeing how God can be good in my life. So what happens when I try to walk in my life? Instead of being the happy person that I am, what controls me? My happiness or my burdens? I can't be very happy with this, can I? Or otherwise, it all pours out on me. So what we do as Christians, we help each other carry our burdens. That's what we're called to do. So if somebody lost their faith, what could you do to help them? You could help them? You could help. How would you help somebody believe? You could, what does that say? Show them what Jesus looks like. Be kind, be gracious, be loving to them. Because when people lose their faith, it's often because they can't picture what Jesus looks like. But you can show them what Jesus looks like. And Ryland, I'll let you carry that burden for me. And if I was sad, what could you do to help me out? If I was your friend at school, how could you make me a little less sad? That's a good one. Make me, what's that say? Make me smile. Pick up my mood. Make me a happier person. Aubrey, can you carry that burden for me? And if I was hungry, what could you do? Give them food. Yeah. Give them a sandwich, maybe some fruit snacks, maybe something good. Brandon, can you carry that burden for me? And if I was lonely, what could you do for me? Play with you. I could be, what does that say? Be a friend to somebody. Tyler, can you carry that for me? And so what happens to my happiness if I let everybody else help me with my burdens? I get happy again because everybody is helping me out. And guess what? Your happiness is easier to carry because you've only got one burden to help somebody else with. So Paige, go ahead, be happy. Because, hold on, can you turn that around? Because what happens when we help everybody carry their burdens in the world? Can you read that for me, Paige? God wants me to be the best version of myself. And how you can become the best version of yourself is to help everybody else carry their own burdens, because that helps you remember what makes you happy. And what makes you happy is being a child of God and being loved and caring for one another. All right, let's go throw our pillows over in this pile. We'll leave this for our rummage sale people in case they get tired from their weekend of work. That'll be right there waiting for you. Let's have our prayer time. Hold on. I'm going to be happy with snacks. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for these kids and help them to remember that they can help each other out and remember that you created us to be happy and loving and compassionate people. So help these kids as they encounter their family, their school life, and their home life to remember to help one another, to love one another, and to care for one another. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a treat. You may remain seated as we join together in song. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts, our minds, and our ears, and may your words inspire us to faith, to action, and to love. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. So we're talking about naming our demons this week. Many of you, I'm sure if I said your full Christian name out loud, the hairs on the back of your head might go up, because you can remember your mother saying that name, Benjamin John Lippert, when you were little and you knew you were in trouble, because there's a power in knowing someone's name. And there's also relaxation that comes from somebody who knows our name. When somebody knows us, it makes us just feel comfortable. It makes us feel right at home, that we are where we belong. How many of you remember Jerry Lucas, the famous Ohio State basketball star of the 1960s? He was made famous. He got the nickname Dr. Memory, because not only did he lead Ohio State to a national title, and he was Big Ten Player of the Year 3 straight years, but he got the nickname Dr. Memory because he could memorize 50 pages of the New York City phone book in one sitting, something that he was very gifted at, a trick that he still could do to this day. And what a remarkable gift. Could you imagine that, memorizing 50 pages out of a New York City phone book in one sitting? And in fact, I know pastors who don't nearly have that gift, but they serve large congregations, and they will spend 10 to 15 minutes every Sunday morning with a pictorial directory to make sure they get all the names down if there's a family that they haven't seen in a while. Because pastors are most often complimented not for our sermons or pastoral care, but by the ability to greet someone by their first name. It reminds people, knowing somebody's name reminds them that they are not just another face in the crowd. They're not a placeholder in your church, but they are a personal and important part of the ministry of the congregation. There's power in knowing somebody's name. And that is why when we look at Christ in our gospel message today, the first thing he does in this encounter with this strange man is ask him his name. He asks the possessed man, "What is your name?" And what is interesting about this encounter with this demon is that this demon has so much control over this man that it responds with its own name and not the man's name. It responds with the name of Legion. And that's a scary thing about any of us who wrestle with demons. In this story, we're talking about a physical demon, but often we wrestle with internal spiritual demons and addictions in our own life in this time period. And any time a spiritual demon takes over us, it takes so much from our personal personality. It becomes a first commandment violation, because your addiction, your spiritual demon, becomes your God. You don't care about loving others. You don't care about loving God. You don't even care about loving yourself. You become enslaved to serving your cravings. And I think it's hard to understand the struggles that this man endured in a 21st century society. Because in ancient society, anything involving mental illness, addiction, or even unexplained physical conditions were all lumped into this category called demon possession. They were all considered the same. And we know nowadays that those are very, very different categories. That a person who battles depression or mental illness or anything else is no different than somebody who battles the flu or cancer or any other difficulty. In fact, in biblical times, people with epilepsy were even considered to be possessed because they didn't know what was causing it. And the cruelty that this man faced in his world was harsh. It was horrid. But unfortunately, before we pat ourselves on the back about how much better we are with mental illness in our day, mental illness is not something we as a society have handled well over the year. Just read the accounts of Nellie Bly, or watch Jack Nicholson and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest to get an idea of how people with mental illness in our country have been treated over the years. In the modern age, we have not removed the social stigma around mental illness, but perhaps we are better at sweeping it under the rug. Because in all honesty, if Betty is sick, if Betty has the flu, if Betty has cancer, she's going to get a ton of cards, she's going to get a ton of food, and a ton of things that lie at her door. But if Betty's struggling with a mental illness, if Betty's struggling with depression, it's amazing how people kind of step away from that and leave them in their own little shell. We as a people of God cannot do that. We need to be more than that. Because we are really good at making the struggles and the mental challenges of others someone else's problem. And I have a feeling in this gospel lesson, very few people in this community knew this man's real name. You notice that when he shouted back, "My name is Legion," there wasn't one person in that town of 100 people who said, "No, that's not Legion, that's Phil, that's Bobby, that's Steve." There wasn't one person who said that, because they probably didn't know his name. They just knew his problem. In fact, they probably had a cruel nickname for him. This community probably invested all their time and effort figuring out who was to blame for the appearance of this man in their town, rather than to do the opposite thing, which was to look for a way to help him. Because it was so easy. They could blame his parents, the Romans, for not providing assistance, the doctors and the healers for not finding the right treatment. It's so easy to invest our time and our energy into blame rather than seeking solutions. And we still do that to this day. If I talk about politics, you hear that word, immediately your ears close, because when you hear that word, you're going to hear somebody go off on a 5-minute list on whether they're Democrat or Republican about who's to blame for the issues in this country. But if you ask anybody about solutions, what are the real solutions? What are the real ways that we can help people? It's amazing how those lists become microscopic, because it's so easy to come up with blame, but it's much harder to come up with real ways to help. And something that gets lost, something that's very strange in this story that's hard to reconcile, is the pigs. Why are the innocent pigs victimized in this exorcism? And it's hard to find an acceptable answer to that one. The best guess I have is that perhaps it was a lesson for the townspeople not to hoard food. Because imagine if they would have used some of those pigs a few weeks earlier to feed this possessed man, this man who is struggling, then perhaps they wouldn't have had to go over a cliff. And it's important to remember it is not Christ who sends them. It is the demons who ask to be put into the pigs, and the demons are so destructive that they choose death over life. And we have to think about that, because when we talk about the issue of feeding people, we too live in a country where all the food we waste could feed our hungry and then some. I researched this a little bit this week. Over $1 trillion in food is lost or wasted every year, according to the United Nations. 1/3 of our food in this world never makes it from the farm to fork. And that's crazy to think about, because so often I find myself praying, "God, why don't you feed the hungry? Why don't you help them?" And maybe it's God looking back at us saying, "I provided the resources. It's time for you to utilize them and share them in a way that gets everybody food." But the important thing, another important thing to remember in this lesson, is that we shouldn't be demonizing people as well, especially the townspeople in this scenario. It's easy for me to relate to the townspeople in this story, because compassion fatigue is something that I think we all get when we face hopeless and difficult situations. For example, I find it's easy to give food or money to a family that has been down on its luck for a few months and just needs help bouncing back, and you know straight away that they're going to do that. But if somebody knocks on my door and it's clear that that person's demons are more than they can handle, I become reluctant to help them. Because I know whatever food, whatever money, whatever solution I offer them is just going to be a placeholder to get them to the next day. And for me, sometimes it can feel like we're throwing money down a black hole in those situations, because it's just getting somebody through a day to day. It's not helping them turn their lives around. But what I try to remind myself when I step back in those moments is that it is important to remember that God does not call us to fix our neighbor or to change our neighbor. God simply calls us to love our neighbors as ourselves. That's all we have to do, is love somebody who's in front of us. And when we come face to face with a person who has a mountain of problems, it's easy for any of us to feel overwhelmed by it all. And that is why Jesus calls us to start small. And remember in this message, when Jesus started with a man with this massive demon that had plagued him for his life, what's the first question he asked him? What's your name? What's your name? And that's an important lesson for us, because when we're facing somebody who has a lot of struggles in their life, start with three basic questions. What's your name? How are you doing today? And how can I help you today? What's your name? How are you doing today? How can I help you today? Three basic, simple questions. But they're powerful questions, because they show that you see the humanity of the person in front of you. Author Leo Biscaglia said, "Too often we underestimate the power of the smallest act of caring, which has the potential to turn a life around. Never underestimate the power of a small act of kindness." And so that's the question before us. Why should we be so kind to those facing demons and struggles and hardships when we have struggles and hardships of our own, when we need help sometimes? And it's especially difficult when there is no realistic belief that we will ever get paid back for those actions we do for others. And the reason we are called to help people who are going through hard times is we all have struggles on some level or another. We all have something that separates us from the love of God. A wise person said, "Everyone you know is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Everyone you know is fighting a battle you know nothing about. Be kind. Be gracious." Because the truth of the matter is, we don't get any prizes in the heavenly kingdom if our sins are any less visible than the sins of others. We all fall short. We all need access to the grace of God. And we are kind to those with heavy burdens, because we have to remember that Christ carried the heaviest burden of all on the cross for each and every one of us. He carried the heaviest burden of all. And when Christ died on the cross, our need to measure our return on our investment in others, like bean counters, died with him. We are called to pour out as much compassion out of our hearts as humanly possible. Why? Because that is the example Christ gave us. And that is the example, as disciples of Christ, we choose to follow, to pour as much compassion out of our hearts as humanly possible. And we often say that we should follow the Matthew 25 example that we shared in the liturgy, about the stranger in need, about when we were in prison, when we were hungry, and when we were sick. And Jesus responds, "Oh, when did I help you?" And Jesus said, "In every need, I was present before you." Every hungry person, every sick person, every stranger. And we look at that passage, and it encourages us to help others, because it reminds us that it could be Jesus standing right in front of us with a need. But perhaps we need to take that a step further and pretend that the stranger in need is us. We are the one with the problem, and it is us knocking on the door with our heaviest burden. And we, in that scenario, are Christ's heart listening to them. And so when somebody knocks on your door with the heaviest burden that they have possible, the question we should ask ourselves is, how do we want Jesus to treat us on the day of our greatest need? How do we want Jesus to treat us? Because in that moment, Christ will pour out grace for us. So may we always share grace with others. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful that no matter what challenges, obstacles, or demons we face in our life, you will help us. Help us in our world to be your hands and feet. Because we realize sometimes we encounter a lot of people and a lot of struggles. And it's easy to be overwhelmed, to become scared, to become cynical about helping others. But help us to just worry about being compassionate. Because the results are in your hands. And we know that no matter what happens, God will guide us through. And we can trust that Jesus will be waiting for us. Because in every action, in every hardship, in every single moment of our lives, Christ's heart is present. May we always remember that. In your gracious name we pray. Amen. Let us please stand as we join together to sing, He Leadeth Me.
You and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.